Strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raid. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown.
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker.
Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Right out of the gate, I'm just going to make it clear. Forget about Niners and Seahawks tonight on Thursday Night Football. Come on now. The real NFC West spotlight is right here. On the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford because we have in a guy who has been surging. His game has been growing and evolving, and you just saw him star in the most recent episode of Hard Knocks. And Wolf, Ron Wolfley there, Paul Calvisi here. And Wolf, as we intro our special guest tonight, I'm making my list and I'm checking it twice for Santa. You're never too old to make a list for Santa. So you know what I'm asking for?
Yeah, Paulie.
I'm asking to be, oh, I don't know, 6'4". 270 pounds. I'm asking to be 22 years of age, you know, being an evolving NFL star. And I also wish that that I was from Carlsbad, you know, from the California coast, and that I was wearing a shirt that said Carlsbad right now, as our guest Cameron Thomas is this evening. Cam, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Cam. No, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really do appreciate it. You're from Carlsbad, Cam?
Yes, I've been very blessed to be from Carlsbad.
Okay, now, honestly, what is Carlsbad, California like, man?
You know what? I honestly will say this. I kind of get a lot of vibes from the Tempe area from Carlsbad. However, we do have a beach. We do have that. We have the Tempe Town Lake, but they have the beach. Yeah.
So you're okay. North of San Diego, right?
Yep, about 40 minutes north.
Okay.
Okay, so Cam, did you also know that Carlsbad, California is the host to one of the best motocross tracks in the United States of America? Did you know that?
It's a little new news to me, you know, which is surprising. You know, I grew up going to Glamis, not too far from here either, so it's something I should probably know.
Oh, my goodness, yes, the 500 Grand Prix at Carlsbad, California, man. Heike Mikkola, here he is on his Bull Taco. Okay, don't get me started, Paul.
Wolf, is that a flashback to, like, the 80s? Because are you sure they haven't paved it over and put down multi-million-dollar homes on that racetrack? Are you sure?
Paulie, there's a real possibility.
Okay, there is. Because we've got someone from Carlsbad, and he hasn't heard of it. So, all right, we'll get into that a little bit later. So here we are. It's week 15. You tell us, what has this season been like, especially as a rookie? I mean, compare and contrast, for example, how you feel now in the NFL versus, oh, I don't know, last time we had you in, which was a matter of weeks after you had been drafted, way back in May, I think, is the last time you were in this studio.
Yeah, you know, I feel like every week I do feel more comfortable this within myself, just with, as a person, as a player. You know, I just continue to be able to learn from the other players and just take what they give me and try to apply it to my own game. And yeah, I do believe that every week I feel more comfortable. And I'm just, you know, looking back from when I was first on this show, when I first got drafted in here, and looking from where I was there to now, you know, it's really crazy.
On that note right there, how have you changed, though, specifically, Cam? How do you think you've changed from the beginning to where you are now?
I'll say this. I remember, you know, coming from college football, you know, it's the toughness wins games kind of aspect to kind of more like, you know, more of a mental game. I will say that. It's a lot more mental at this level, and
yes,
being able to just kind of just to learn and just study teams and just be able to take little pieces from here and there and be able to apply it in the week is something that has definitely helped it grow and expand my game.
Cameron Thomas is our guest here, Cardinals round 3 rookie out of San Diego State. In fact, Buda Baker just stood in front of his locker and said 75% of the NFL is mental.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you agree?
I 100% agree with them, yes.
So let's fast forward to April or May, right? And the new crop of rookies comes in. What sort of advice do you think you would give them? What would you tell them to expect? And I don't know, would you give them any sort of best practices? What would you say?
To say keep your head in the game. You know, it gets easier every week. It really does. And, you know, get in that playbook because it's only going to get in the field faster.
So, Cam, good or bad, were you surprised by anything to do with the National Football League?
You know, I would probably just say the same thing I just said, you know, just with the knowledge of the game, you know, coming in. You know, when you think of the NFL, you know, I thought it was going to be like, you know, a next step up, a level of grind. And it really is, but just a different aspect going from the physical more to mental. You know, I thought by graduating college, you know, I would be able to kind of relax some studying, but it's the exact opposite. So
far you've played what, 13 games, right? So who's been the biggest, baddest, most difficult assignment for you so far?
That's a great question. I think the biggest assignment I had came actually back from in training camp, you know, going from interior D lineman back to a stand-up outside linebacker. I think there was a bit of an adjustment there. And, you know, every week I think I just, like I said, I get just way more comfortable, you know, just rolling off my ball from my stance.
How about an opponent? How about like an opposing offensive lineman? Who's the toughest guy you've gone against for whatever reason?
You know, I'm gonna have to give it to Trent Williams. You know, he's earned his reputation for a reason. Just being able to watch, you know, how he takes other very high caliber, you know, NFL players and how he kind of treats them and
neutralizes them.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I will say this: yeah, I watched Marcus Golden get after that dude, and after seeing that, you know, I did learn that you know, you can respect players in this league, but at the end of the day, they are just players, and players can be beat. So.
Oh, that is great, Cam. That really is, man. That is growth, I think, from you. You know, we're in December, as Paulie was talking about. It's almost Christmas, Cam. You got 4 games left, man. Did you hit a wall at all this year?
No, not at all. Actually, you know, I'm still very excited to be able to play every single Sunday. Not at all.
How about physically, though? I mean, physically, have you had a week or have you gotten to the point? Because honestly, there were a number of rookies last year that about this point sort of faded physically, and just, you know, a long NFL season. It goes so far beyond a college season in so many ways. And in a lot of ways, you haven't had a break because you had to prepare for the draft and then you just kept on going, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there is the season is obviously much longer. And, you know, I think I've been doing a pretty good job of keeping up with my body. You know, I've had obviously just the normal bumps and bruises throughout the season here. But, I think I've been doing a good job and just taking care of my body, and it's been taking care of me. So,
who was the toughest dude to tackle this year, if I may ask?
You know, Kenneth Walker, I got to give him a lot of respect.
Oh, yeah.
I do give him a lot of respect. Christian McCaffrey is up there as well.
Just in terms of how elusive they are, or is it the combination of the ability to make you miss and or run over you?
Yeah, so Kenneth Walker's, you know, he's got a little more of the run through you type of part to his game, but Christian McCaffrey, you know, he'll make you miss in a phone booth. So
yeah,
you just got to respect both of them. They have different games, but both very good players.
Yeah, Cam, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and look at your season and evaluate your season for us, if you don't mind. Like, how do you think it's gone for you?
I'll say this right now. I'm a lot tougher on myself than I think a lot of people will agree on.
Have you always been that way?
Absolutely. You know, even my last year of college football when I came out, and you know, I still think that there was still a lot to improve on. You know, I still took my chances, came out in the draft. But, I definitely think there's a lot more that I can improve on through the year. You know, and I would say a lot more. I mean, yeah, more mental. Like I said, like I'm still learning a lot more of the game of the football, and you know, definitely some big steps there. But yeah, I think every single week I am improving and taking those steps. But yeah, there's definitely a bit of adjustment period.
So when your position group is out there, you're working with the outside linebackers, correct?
Yes.
Yet you are a nose tackle at times at San Diego State.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then during games, you're used in a variety of ways. Just tell us some of the different spots you've already played this year.
Yeah, so this year, you know, I played a little bit of, obviously, stand-up outside linebacker, whether it was a five, you know, head up on or outside shade of the offensive tackle, or a nine technique outside the shade of the tight end. But, you know, there's some packages in there where I'll find myself in there from a three tech rushing, and I'm very comfortable doing that. You know, that's something actually coming into the NFL, I was a lot more comfortable doing the rushing the edge, and it's funny how things have flipped. But, yeah, you know, that's something I don't mind doing, and I really do enjoy it. You know, and with Zach, you know, obviously, you know, hurting his hand, that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I found myself more in there this week and going forward. And, yeah, just anything I could do to be valuable to this team, I'm up for doing.
Cam, what do you think was your best game this season, and why do you think it was your best game?
That's a great question. So a big trait, or one of my best traits I believe I have as a player, is my effort. And, you know, there might be, you know, some games where I might have more win percentage, or, you know, I might have better statistics. But I actually really liked last game against New England. I think my effort stood out more in that game than it has in the other games. And that's kind of something I usually base myself off. So I think New England was a game I said I'd look up to.
Well, tell you what, we got a little insight into the lead-up to that game on Hard Knocks. And for everyone who doesn't know, Cameron Thomas is our guest, round three rookie. And in college, you wore number
99.
Because?
J.J. Watt.
And so there you were. It was the two of you in one of the meeting rooms. And Hard Knocks caught that moment. And here's a little clip.
The number one thing you got to remember is that you also have strengths. Never talk yourself out of being successful. So, like, you have a great bull rush and you have a great long arm. Just because this guy is good against it doesn't mean you can't win with it. I'm year 12. I'm still learning.
That's J.J. Watt to our guest Cameron Thomas. Is it possible to summarize, just capitalize, what have you learned from J.J. Watt this year?
Yeah, there's definitely some of the things I've learned from him. You know, whether he's physically told me or just me observing him as a player, you know, the reason he got to where he is today is just his work ethic. And, you know, his leadership is something, you know, that's also a very big aspect of him. But, yeah, just being able to see him, you know, kind of do his workouts, be able to see his practice habits, just kind of see the way he carries himself throughout this building is something, you know, that's really inspiring and really helps a young player like myself.
Cam, what is he like, you know, I mean, as a teammate? You know, we know the public perception of J.J. Watt, of course, but as a teammate, what is he like? Is he a funny guy? Does he like to laugh? What is J.J. Watt like as a teammate?
No, J.J. definitely likes to have fun. You know, he can be sarcastic, definitely, and no, he'll definitely joke around with you, but at the same time, he'll be locked in and, you know, understanding where he needs to be, and yeah.
Some of those clips of him giving Zach Allen the business on the sideline during practice.
Yeah,
that's him, right?
Yeah, that's him. That's JJ.
And how many times are you asked that? Do people come up to you and say, "Cam, I know you play with JJ Watt, man. You know, what's he like?" Do you get asked that all the time?
Yeah, no, I've definitely got asked that a couple times. You know, definitely from people I'm close to. So.
And, hey, you wanted to know the answer to that yourself once you got drafted, right? In fact, here's Vance Joseph on just J.J.'s impact on you earlier today.
Cam wearing his number in college, I mean, it's obvious that he was a hero of Cam's. And Cam's first day on the job, it was funny to watch him, you know, just walk around J.J. and just stare at him. You know, he wouldn't say anything to him, but he would just stare at him. You know, it was funny to watch that. But now Cam's got those traits, you know, and he's a young guy. He's eager to learn.
I mean, you know, if like Joe Buck was in here or some premier broadcaster, I'd probably be staring at him too, right? I mean, it's just sort of natural, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely remember that first time I saw him. It was definitely an eye-opener, you know, seeing this guy that I've just watched for so long, you know, right in front of me. I think VJ kind of exaggerated a little bit on the staring.
Come on, he's got to tell the media a good story, you know.
Yeah. No, I definitely remember the first time I met him, though. It was right when I got drafted, walked in here. He was in the middle of a workout, and I didn't want to distract him, but I walked up to him and introduced myself while he was talking to VJ. I do remember VJ making a comment. I don't remember exactly what it was. But, yeah.
You're like, hey, Cam, VJ, I'm not a stalker around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Wolf.
No, I was just going to say, man, did this year teach you anything? And if so, what did it teach you?
It taught me a ton of things, and honestly, at the top of my head here, I don't think there's anything.
What about confidence, Cam? I mean, honestly, like, I think every rookie has got to experience a point in the season where it's just you and the pillow at night, man. For whatever reason, you're up at 2:30 in the morning, and the shadows are creeping across the ceiling, and you're awake. And yet you're thinking about your profession. You're thinking about your sport. You're thinking about your game. And at some point in time, Cam, you have to be able to say to yourself, man, I got this.
Yeah.
Have you had that moment this year?
Yeah, I did, actually. That was an eye-opener for me in training camp. I remember I started off, you know, there was a little bit of a transition from the, you know, the change of the positions, and I never really blamed that at all. I never looked at it like that way at all, but I remember there was a dry period where I wasn't making any plays. Shoot, I remember it was like maybe like 4 or 5 days in the camp, and I haven't done anything, and I was just like, I look at myself like, you know, like, what's going on right now? Like, this isn't the Cameron I know. And I remember there was something that happened. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I was like, I was getting pretty down on myself. I was just like, this is, you know, it is what it is. And I remember, like, the first main training camp, I got, like, washed from one side of the ball all to the other, and the tackle basically put me right to the running back because he put me there in a gap that was, like, 4 over. And I was really embarrassed myself. And I remember that night in my room at the hotel, I was just like, I'm just going to cut this thing loose, you know. You know, yeah. I don't got much to lose. I'm not, you know, I don't have anything. I haven't really gained too much since I've been here. So I'm just going to let this thing loose. And as soon as I did that, I mean, it was a whole new player. And Whoa. That was the player I was at San Diego State. You know, I went up there, I had fun, and I did not care. I went out there and I went. And ever since then, I think that's exactly what it's been. I've just gone out there every single day, enjoyed playing the sport, you know, that I grew up loving, and I'm very blessed to be in the position I'm in now.
That is a great story, and it's echoes of what J.J. Watt tells. Vance Joseph was on that Houston staff when J.J. Watt was a first-round rookie, said most of his rookie year he struggled. And J.J. Watt said, I was trying to do this for that coach and this for that coach, and then I realized, I just got to be myself. I'm already struggling. I got to be myself, and if I stink, well, I already stink. And then he said, boom, that was the turning point. And Vance Joseph said, the game was a playoff game his rookie year. And according to Vance Joseph, he did things that he'd never seen a defensive lineman ever do. And that's where J.J. Watt morphed initially and eventually into a three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So that's a great story, sort of that, yeah. Having that epiphany at that moment. So we'll continue here with Cameron Thomas. We'll talk about the Broncos and what's straight ahead on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Snap to Smith, drops back to throw, pressure in his face, he's in trouble, and he goes down, he's sacked back at the 21-yard line. Cam Thomas, the rookie, is there for the Cardinals to make the play. First career sack for Cam Thomas. Herbert back to throw on third down, in trouble, steps up, sacked again at the 44-yard line. This time it's Cam Thomas. Steps up in the pocket, gets hit, arm is hit, ball flutters, picked off by Simmons at the 40-yard line and tackled at the 37. Cam Thomas swiped at the throwing arm of Mac Jones. The ball fluttered into the air, picked off by Simmons.
There you go, a highlight montage, 2022, the rookie year for our guest on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Cameron Thomas, who's the first San Diego State player drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in the top 3 rounds since, Wolf, a former teammate of yours. It was actually 1987, the year before they moved to Arizona. Round 3 out of San Diego State, a tight end by the name of Rob Awol.
Oh, Rob. Yeah. Oh, he was awesome.
Wolf, did you ever fight Rob Awol?
I didn't, as a matter of fact.
See, Cam, you have to ask Wolf these questions because he tended to mix it up with a lot of players, including his own teammates. So you have to be real clear as Wolf had that mentality as a player. Okay?
Yeah.
Cam, please don't judge me on that. Please.
Oh, no judgment at all here. I actually respect it.
Thank you.
What's your favorite play so far this season that you've made? And dare I say, against the team you grew up watching, maybe the Chargers a couple weeks ago, early first quarter, you can take us through it if you want and give us the play-by-play if that's indeed your choice.
Yeah, you know, looking back, you know, there's a lot of plays in there that I I'm in high favor of, but that play in particular, that was a pretty special play for me. You know, being a kid from San Diego, you know, the Chargers growing up, you know, about 30 minutes from my house. So, yeah, that was a super special play. I had a ton of people that game, you know, that, you know, drove up or drove on over. And, yeah, I just remember that was actually my first play of that game.
Wow.
It was the first play of the game. I got in there, and, you know, JJ already kind of warmed him up and got a sack, you know, right before I did. And, yeah, I just remember I took my rush up the field. You know, Junk had a really good Marcus Golden had a really good rush on the other side, flushed him up, and I was able to counter at the level and, you know, hit Herbert before through the ball. And then there was the celebration.
Yes, do tell.
Which is kind of funny. You know, I'm being a kid from San Diego, that was my fifth time ever surfing, and it was on grass. So
that's good.
That was, yeah, that was definitely something to remember.
Well, so, Cam, where's your future on the line of scrimmage, man? Is it edge? Five technique, three technique? I know you got to be able to move around, but if you had a preference, where would it be, Cam?
Yeah, you know, I definitely say I would be comfortable at all those positions. However, you know, I feel really happy I'm in the spot now, you know, being a stand-up backer. You know, I never would have thought I would have ever said that. You know, I thought I was always going to be a traditional hand-of-the-dirt type of guy. But, you know, being able to kind of get best of both worlds, I do really enjoy standing up on the edge.
Because, Wolf, you remember Zach Allen after his rookie year, right? He went into a real rigorous off-season regimen, and he put on weight and strength and size.
Yeah.
I could see you maybe doing that, following that Zach Allen. But, no, you don't envision that as your off-season.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, whatever the team wanted to do with me, if they did want to put me inside, you know, it's something we could definitely talk about doing. But, yeah, if I was to have a preference, I'd be pretty happy where I'm at now.
Boy, I love that, Cam. It's the stand-up, so more edge, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think? Would you have to drop some weight? Do you think you'd have to drop weight, or do you like your weight right where you are now?
Yeah, you know, I've actually dropped a decent amount of weight since I've been here. I came in here around, I remember my first weigh-in here was like 269. Although I remember, like, just not drinking any water prior to that weigh-in, I was closer to, like, 273. You know, right now I sit anywhere from, like, 58 to 260.
Wow.
And, you know, I feel really comfortable in that range. And, you know, I feel like I didn't lose really any strength or any power and just gained some speed off it. So
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, here's your defensive coordinator earlier today, just on the progress you have made during your rookie season.
Cam, with more turns, you know, we'll get more sacks. You know, it's just playing with a lead, you know, and having more chances to rush freely. You know, that's been our problem. But Cam's a guy who can win one-on-one rushes. And, I mean, he's played awful lot in the last month. And he's won a lot, you know, but he needs more turns, you know, with a fair game and a lead.
Yeah, think about that, right? Like last week, look at New England. They had two sacks in the first three quarters. They get a two-score lead, and then they had four sacks in the fourth quarter. That's sort of the way it works, right? Because now you can just rush with abandon, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, give your defense some freedom. You know, when the offense has to throw the ball down the field like that, you know, when they're down, you know, it definitely creates a lot more opportunities for a defense to make those plays.
And, you know, Cam, we want you to look forward, obviously. This beautiful part of the program here, we want you to look forward to down the road. Where do you think you can actually make the biggest strides next year? Is it as an edge rusher and your techniques? Is it against the run? Where do you think you can actually take your biggest strides?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of aspects, you know, I still got to grow at. You know, something for me, I think I could definitely just take that next step, that next jump in the run game, and just lock it down. You know, obviously I have some good plays, I have some bad plays, but just the consistency, I'd say, in the run game would be something that could really take me to that next level. And obviously, you know, in the pass game, you know, I could definitely, there's definitely a lot of area of improvement there. And, you know, I'm sure as the more I play, the more comfortable I'll get. So,
what do you expect out of the Denver Broncos? What do they do well, and what do you know so far about what's going to be most important on Sunday?
Yeah, so just watching from what I see the Denver Broncos, whatever the media has portrayed them so far is not what they look like on film. I think they are very good team. And, you know, whether Russell plays or not, he's a very talented player. He can rip the ball down the field. You know, he can run out of the pocket. And he is a difference maker in games. So, I mean, between that and, you know, stopping the run, you know, they are a good opponent.
If, in fact, Russell Wilson plays, I question whether or not he will. But if he does, what would it mean to wax his back? I mean, would that kind of geek you out a little bit? I would imagine you've been watching him as a kid for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's I think a lot of edge rushers, when they come in the league, there's always a couple guys they kind of have at the top of the list. Everybody's on the list, but there's a couple guys that are just sitting out just a little bit more, and I would put them up there. You know, I remember when I first got drafted to Arizona, I was, like, super fresh, like, within the hour of getting drafted. You know, I was kind of just, like, looking things up on the team, kind of pulling up the roster, this and that. Obviously, I know Seattle was in the conference, and I was bummed out. I was like, dang, he just got traded. And, you know, I'm not going to have the opportunity. And then the schedule comes out a couple weeks later, and there he is. So, you know, I hope he plays. And, yeah, I hope it works out.
Well, Wolf, you remember, we had my Jay Sanders in here. I think it was in May. It was, you know, fresh out of the draft, and I didn't even finish the question. I said, my Jay, which NFL quarterback do you want to sack the most? He jumped the question and said, Tom Brady. Immediately said Tom Brady. How about you?
I mean, Tom Brady, I think he's up there too on everybody's list. I mean, how could he not be?
That'd be a Merry Christmas right there, if in fact you were able to get that. When it comes to the Denver Broncos, describe their offense for me if you could. I from your perspective right now, are they trying to run the ball? Do you think they're a power rushing team? Do they like to use play? Go ahead and describe the Denver Broncos, what you see on tape.
Yeah, they do pass the ball, you know, just a little bit more than they do run it. You know, when they do run the ball, they like to, you know, it's like use a variation of zone plays. They'll use slashers, you know, here and there. And, then they'll pass the ball. So we got to be ready.
I mean, they got hot against Kansas City. They were down 27-0. They lost 34-28.
Yeah.
They put a lot of yards and a lot of points on the scoreboard in a hurry last week, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, you know, what they look like on film from what I've heard going into this game, they do not correlate to me. Like, I really do give the Broncos a ton of credit.
Cam, did you have any goals coming into this season?
My biggest goal was to have fun and make plays.
Good one.
Yeah.
How about rookie duties? You know, Trey McBride said earlier today that he still has rookie duties, that Max Williams made him decorate the tight end room for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. We got two trees in our room, actually.
Oh,
so
nice.
Not trying to make it a competition at all. But, you know, we do have that. We got the lights. We got the stockings. We got a reef.
You got to get some snacks. Do you have to get snacks and stuff for the guys still, too?
Oh, yeah. We got some snacks. Two days ago, or a couple days ago, hit Costco, got the Celsius drinks, load them in the fridge. And, of course, every Saturday, we got to get donuts for the group. So, yes.
Hey, it's a rite of passage, Cam.
Yep.
Wolf's still getting my drinks around here. That's the way it works. So, Cameron, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
We continue with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Play fake. Murray setting up. Looking deep. Now takes off. Running to the right at the 35, at the 40. And dives to about the 44-yard line. A gain of 3 for Kyler Murray. And an injured Cardinal. It's Kyler who went down very awkwardly that time as he tried to cut. Oh, no.
This is me.
Oh. Non-contact. He cut right, then tried to cut left and just buckled. And there was a Patriot player right there who called to the Cardinal sideline to bring on the training staff. It looked like when he went to the ground, the injury had already happened. He was in pain. His head started to come back, and he just went to the ground. Oh, boy.
We got you one. Go win it, boy. We got you one. We got to regroup these boys, man. Let's go. We got to regroup these boys. Hey, we got you, brother.
We got you, fam.
Let's go. Regroup and get one for one. Let's go. Everybody regroup.
Let's go.
Get one for one. Let's go.
That's J.J. Watt right there. That was from Hard Knocks and NFL Films, as several players were mic'd up. Almost all the players were around Kyler Murray when he went down. And just like that, three plays into the game, the Cardinals had to go with plan B, Colt McCoy. And it will be plan B the rest of this season and then unknown into the offseason. Sort of like we're going plan B right now. Technically, Ron Wolfley is yours truly with an issue on the line. So we've got to go with an alternate game plan here. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Props to Cameron Thomas, and we'll talk a little bit more about Cameron Thomas and what he had to say. But first, your thoughts on the loss. Forget the game. It's much worse when you lose your franchise quarterback to a season-ending knee injury, torn ACL, non-contact on the third play of the game, as we just heard.
Yeah, Paulie, it really is just a horrible situation that has happened with the Arizona Cardinals right now. We all know the kind of season that they've had. We all know the many distractions that they've had. This just seems like an exclamation point on the entire season. And to see your franchise quarterback, Kyler Murray, go down on play number three of this game, another non-contact injury. We've seen it all over the National Football League this year, of course, with the Cardinals non-contact. And now all of a sudden you see Kyler Murray go down. It's a horrible occurrence for Kyler Murray. Yet at the same time, I have to wonder if it gives him an opportunity to reflect as to where he's been and where he wants to go.
Yeah, he was emotional. We all saw it. It was on Monday Night Football. He was on the cart. The towel was on his head. He took the towel off. He acknowledged the crowd. There were some tears maybe even in his eyes as they were carting him off. Matthew Judon knew it right away. I was on the sideline. You could see Judon immediately signaling to the Cardinals sideline. And then after the game, Colt McCoy, who finished the game and is your QB1 the rest of this season, shared with the media this week about how he left the stadium and he went right over to Kyler's house.
Yeah, I've talked to Kyler a bunch. Spent a couple hours with him at his house after the game Monday night. His spirits were fine. Like, he was smiling. But, I mean, it's an injury, and, you know, we're all upset. He's upset. You know, he's frustrated. But his spirits were in a good place, and he'll attack the rehab. We've got great doctors here, and lots of guys have come back from ACLs and been just fine. So I think he's got full confidence in that, and, you know, it's part of the game, but it's a shock. And so, you know, we'll all put our arms around him for sure.
That is it.
A lot of different angles here, Wolf. What about the game that Kyler plays, though? Because, you know, we can talk about a Joe Burrow as the most recent example, but obviously Kyler is one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the league, and his legs are so vital to what he does. Does that present a different dynamic, a different challenge in this case?
Yeah, honestly, I think anytime you blow your ACL out, you have to worry about that and the long-term effects that could have. But you're talking about Kyler Murray, who's still so young, Paulie, and also, too, just the way they deal with ACLs today. It's not like back when I was playing in 1985 when I came into the league, Paulie, 1990 even. I can tell you that if you blew your ACL out, most of the time you were never going to be the same. It didn't mean you couldn't come back from an ACL. You could. But most of the time, Paulie, it meant you weren't going to be the same guy. That no longer is the case anymore. It's not the metaphorical death sentence that it once was for guys that use their athleticism to make plays, guys like Kyler Murray, guys like running backs and wide receivers and cornerbacks. You can come back from an ACL and be darn near 100% of what you were before. Now, is that going to be the case with Kyler Murray? We don't know. We're going to have to wait and see, but man, being as young as he is, I honestly don't think this is going to inhibit him and his career in the near future.
Yeah, I think of a young Tyrann Mathieu. Remember the end of his rookie year? And that was a hellacious knee injury. It was much worse than a torn ACL. And the Cardinals medical team did a phenomenal job with that surgery in that rehab. And obviously, Tyrann Mathieu's had a borderline Hall of Fame career ever since,
Paulie, that first year back, Paulie, do you remember that?
Yeah.
That first year
2014,
back,
it took a while. You're right.
It did. It took a while for him, you know, and everybody's different, man. Everybody heals differently. Everybody has a different knee, a different reaction. Maybe there was more damage done to Tyron's knee. Maybe there wasn't. I don't know the specifics of that, but I just know that everyone's different. But Tyron is an excellent example to a guy that came back, and yet it took him a year to look like himself.
Yeah, no question. And it just presents so much uncertainty, obviously, in the offseason. Are you actually going to invest assets into another quarterback? Is this Colt McCoy's show, maybe even through a considerable part of next year? So those are just huge offseason questions. As for the final four games, and especially what you're looking at in Denver, I mean, Wolf, there's no doubt that this team trusts Colt McCoy, right? He's decisive.
Yes.
As Hollywood Brown told us yesterday, there isn't a single coverage or scheme he hasn't seen before. So if nothing else, you come in with a quarterback who really is almost like a player coach in so many ways.
Yeah, no, he really is. Listen, for the next four games, Colt McCoy, this is one of the best backups in the league to me right now for this situation, this offense. Kyler Murray, of course, for Colt McCoy to be a backup. He has already proven his value and his worth to this team. It's one of the reasons why the Cardinals went ahead and extended him, signed him to a two-year contract. So he's under contract going into next year. He's not only going to finish this year, I think they're okay going into next year with Colt McCoy. Now, Paulie, what does that mean? What does that look like? Do they bring another veteran in? Is that a possibility? Bring another guy in case something were to happen to Colt McCoy. Do they bring another veteran in to compete with Colt McCoy? I don't know those answers. I just know, and you know this as well, Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals are very, very comfortable with Colt McCoy as their quarterback. Yeah.
And here's the other thing. I think it just heightens the importance of improving everything else around Colt McCoy this offseason. Why are the Niners still winning with a third-string quarterback? Because they have great offensive line and defensive line, right? The number one defense in the league. They have a great running game, and they have the ability to just throw the ball short and guys make, you know, defenders miss and all the yak yards. It is imperative that you build it up around Colt McCoy, starting with his Denver game, that you don't get behind by two scores so you can stay balanced and have a run game.
Yeah, Paulie, no doubt about it. We're all going to have a front row seat. So hold on.
And Colt McCoy, by the way, you know, look, he was one quarterback in the first three quarters, and then that final quarter of Monday Night Football when he got sacked four times as the defense in New England was just teeing off on him. So you got to stay in the game, and you got to continue to run James Conner and open up the passing game. As we continue with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, we are Santan Ford. We'll be back right after this.
I'll be the first one to say I made some calls, right? But the basic that we know how to do, it means a lot in these games. It's hard to overcome, and it continues to happen. It's getting it right in practice and holding each other accountable. All right, I treat you like men. That's how it's going to be. That may be a fault of mine, but I'm going to treat you like men. So we got to hold each other accountable somehow the last month because we're better than that. Everybody understand that? Like, that's it. We're better than that. And that's all I want to see for this group the last month. Play your best football. Because I love being around you guys. I love coming to work every day with you. You practice hard. You fight your ass off for each other. But we have to do it right because we're giving away.
It's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to beat yourself. And, Wolf, we talked so much up until that Monday night game about what are you going to get out of the rest of this season, and job number one was K1, was Kyler Murray. Well, now that he has this season-ending knee injury, dare I say the job the Cardinals need to do first and foremost is to get rid of the word self-inflicted. Just eliminate that from their vocabulary because it's been persistent throughout the season, Cardinals beating Cardinals, and that's what Cliff Kingsbury was lamenting there after the game, courtesy of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Paulie, you know what? I really enjoyed that part of it, minus the profanity, of course. I mean, just saying right now. Cliff, I thought, was as assertive and resolute as I've seen him in front of the team at all. I don't know about you, Paulie, if you were impressed as well, but you know, just
totally
the
agree.
Way, yeah, just the way he was speaking right there. This is a little bit of a window that the Arizona Cardinals have got to crack, and Cliff Kingsbury has got to look through right now. This is what it's got to be like next year. I think more than anything else, you got to surround Cliff Kingsbury with a bunch of guys that are dogs inside the locker room. I think to some degree they have already done that, but I think you've got to hold them to a higher standard. He's got to become the alpha male, in my opinion. That doesn't mean that he's got to be screaming at guys. It doesn't mean he's got to be yelling at guys or threatening guys or being anybody that he isn't. He's just got to be resolute, I think, for the most part, going forward and demanding that you do your job. And if you don't do your job, maybe you're not going to be here.
Do the Arizona Cardinals have an accountability problem, in your opinion? Because we've heard it from Buda Baker, courtesy of Hard Knocks, after the Eagles game. We've heard it at different times, even in the offseason, Wolf. In fact, what's ironical, if you will, as I make up a word, is that Hard Knocks was brought in, why? To add an extra layer of accountability.
Yeah.
And so now we see, late in the season, that it's obviously still an issue. I mean, it is something that still needs to be addressed, obviously.
I think, Paulie, they will. But once again, I also look at this situation, and I know nobody wants to hear this. They don't. Nobody wants to hear it. They look at it and they say it's an excuse. And I understand that. You never want to look for an excuse. But when you have the rash of injuries that the Arizona Cardinals have had, and I'm not talking about Kyler Murray, okay? I'm not talking about that. Kyler Murray played, he had five games remaining before he blew his knee out. I'm talking about everybody else around him, to a point where your offensive line, 80% of your offensive line is out, gone, and has been for weeks, dare I say months. That right there, Paulie, once again, all bets are off at that point in time. You could have the most talent in the world at the skill position. You really could. You could have the most talented wide receiver, but if you can't protect your quarterback, if you can't give him a reasonable amount of time for him to actually go through his progressions and find an open receiver, it doesn't really matter who you have out there at wide receiver unless you're going to go ahead and 1-2-3 and get the ball out every time. Now, that may work for one game, but two games in a row with a defensive coordinator, that's not going to cut it, Paul. It just won't. At some point in time, NFL defenses are going to catch up with you. The entire situation this year has just been a mess for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and then think about it. They had three big plays that were eliminated by a couple of illegal shifts and offensive pass interference. You know, an A.J. Green going out of bounds, coming back in. These are the sort of mistakes, and it's what Colt McCoy was talking about to the media.
The penalties crushed us, right? And they're self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, we've talked about them kind of all year at certain times, and they bit us on Monday night. And so just I think having a really – point of emphasis on some of the things that we're trying to do with some of the motions and shifts, like just being very detailed, no pre-snap penalties, and that will give us a chance.
You know, the self-inflicted wounds, Paulie, too, once again, when you're playing an awful lot of backups in your lineup, they're backups for a reason. I was a backup, Paulie, okay? I'm just telling you, you're a backup for a reason, and sometimes it's because mentally you have a tendency of making mistakes. Now, this has been something that the Cardinals have dealt with all season long, and it's not just backups who make it. We also saw D-Hop, right? DeAndre Hopkins. We saw him and Hollywood moving at the same time. You can't do that. But those self-inflicted wounds that Colt is talking about, that has been, I would say, the most prevalent, consistent thing we've seen from the offense in the second half of the season.
And it's been whack-a-mole. We've talked about it, right? It's been different guys at different times making different mistakes. And so it's hard to identify. And honestly, The release of a Trayvon Mullen, I wonder if that somehow relates to accountability, because there's one way to motivate and get everyone's attention, and that is with job security. So I truly wonder about that. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like in Denver. Obviously, Cliff had a message to send after the loss against the Patriots on Monday night. Special thanks, as always, Jim Almahundro, Cody Fincher. Special thanks to Cam Thomas, right, our extra special guest tonight, and how he actually put up two Christmas trees in the outside linebackers meeting room there at the Cardinals HQ. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.